Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. Thank you for joining us for today's sermon. This is our sermon for May 10th, 2026.
Will you remain standing to hear the gospel read from John, the 14th chapter, these words that remind us of God's promise to be with us always. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Let me read that again. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and will show myself to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. When I hear the word commandment, I think about my mom, because my mom gave me some commandments. Clean up your room, brush your teeth. Y'all think of some. What were some commands your mom gave you? Comb your hair, all right. Aren't you? Come inside when the street lights what?
Turn on.
Turn on. All right. What else?
Don't talk back.
Whoa, Scott. Give me that one again.
Don't talk back.
Look at Martha when you say that. You notice he softened that. Anybody else? Go. Oh, she did do that, dude. Well, at least you didn't have to stand out there with it like I used. Anybody else got one?
Get up and get ready for school.
Get up and get ready for school.
Change the channel.
Change the channel, right, yeah. A lot of TV. Anybody else? Your mother? Shirley, did you ever hear this one? Huh? Do what?
Go get
me
a switch.
I was fortunate. I missed that one. Ms. White, what about it?
Won't hurt you.
Won't hurt you. That's exact. Oh, I like that. We'll preach on that next week. Won'ts. Do what now? That was one of my favorites. What? Who said that? What? Oh, what? I thought you said wash out your mouth. I thought that. Did any of y'all? Yep. Mark, you're being mighty quiet back there. Say what, sissy? Would it be safe to say that we learned? Raise your hand if you learned a lot from your mother. Raise your hand if you did everything your mother ever told you. Oh, come. Where's your mom? Can you see you doing that? Beverly, did you see that hand go up? He did not. Well, let's don't do that today. Wait till you get outside to do that. Here's one I heard a lot. I learned, actually, justice. Y'all know what justice is? Making things right in the end. You know, the judge makes things right. God makes everything right in the end. My mother used to say this. She said, one day you're going to have children and they're going to be just like you. Anybody, y'all ever hear that one? And you know what? She's right. She was right. Now, fortunately, my mom is 98 today and she's going to be watching this sermon, so I have to be careful. Oh, yeah. Because she will, if she doesn't get it time by 2 o'clock, And she's the one that found out that Tom was using the hymn title instead of the sermon title on the video, so she corrected that. So my mom is still correcting me and my church folks after 98 years. Somebody say amen. Glad. Yeah. How many of you have a mom that's still with you? Raise your hand. Okay. Are you grateful for that? Yes. I'd hate, how many, I don't know, this is a tougher question. How many of you are actually orphans? Anyone here an orphan? Whose hand went up? Dorothy? Okay. Then I want your excuse from listening to the sermon today. You've already qualified, okay? Here's, I've known three orphans really well in my life. One of them, how do I get around this? Is Lynette here today? She's not. She's in Shreveport. Good. I can get away with this. Before I met the love of my life and got married to her and had children and grandchildren and spent my life with her, I actually dated other girls. Did any of y'all do that? Men, come on, be honest. Carl, did you date any ladies before you married Liz? What? Some, all right, guys, you dated before you married your wife. Come on. Bruce? I think I better quit now. The first orphan I knew was a young lady I dated. Her grandmother was a member of my church at McCool, Mississippi. I had been there less than a year, and this young lady who went to Mississippi College came to visit her grandmother. I was awestruck by her looks. She could play the piano. Later went to the University of Indiana, got a doctorate in piano. Later played at two of the larger Baptist churches in Jackson, one of them being First Baptist, for years. And I was in love, I thought. Can anybody make that statement? I was in love, I thought. And so her parents were both school teachers. Her mother was the daughter of the lady that was a member of my church, lived right across the street from the parsonage in McCool. And so it was a natural, and we dated for a while, and then we got pretty serious, and I thought I was in love so much that I would pop the question, will you marry me? And her first cousin, who was also a member of my church, grabbed me, and when I sort of hinted at church one Sunday that I was going to do that, he grabbed me and he walked me outside of the church building. And I said, Harold, I've got to go in and preach. He said, you need to hear this first. He said, if you marry my cousin, you'll be the most miserable man who ever lived on the face of the earth. I said, well, why? He said, you don't know her story, do you? I said, well, she's Coy and Evelyn's daughter, and they're wonderful Christian people, and she plays the piano for the chorale at Mississippi College, and she can sing, and she's beautiful, and why would I not marry her? And he said, you don't know, she's an orphan. And I said, really? But I persisted, and so I was going to go down. This is not a sad story. It's really a good story. I was going to drive down to Jackson or Clinton and see her at Mississippi College. And I drove all the way from McCool, 2.5 hours, got there. She had told me, oh, yeah, I'll be waiting at the front door of the girls' dorm there at Mississippi College, and I'll be there at 7 o'clock. I got there at 6:30, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And I had a little Cracker Jack's box ring to give her, you know. I didn't have a real one. I just going to give her one to kind of seal the deal. What's that song? If you like what you see, put a what? Put a ring on it. And I waited. And finally, at 8 o'clock, I went in. The dorm mother said, oh, she's gone. She went off with her fiancé. Ouch. I felt like an orphan in that 2.5 hour drive back. I got back. This is before cell phones. I got back. I called her immediately when I got back. She didn't answer. She didn't call the next day. And the third day, she finally called me back. She said, I forgot to tell you that I'm in love with somebody else and we're getting married next week. Now, she was an orphan because her mom and dad adopted her from an orphanage of the Catholic nature in New Orleans because her mother had given her up because she couldn't keep her for whatever reason. By the way, that happens, doesn't it? Happens in our lives, our communities. And so what her cousin was seeing was what I had not seen. It, her had never made her feel like she belonged. Now, I'll finish that story later. I promise I'll finish it. But the second orphan I met was at a church I served in central Mississippi. And I can't say too much because I think Betty probably knows this person. And he was a guy who had been orphaned at an early age, ran away from home when he was 10 from a little community out in Rankin County. And later on, married a wonderful lady, had wonderful children, lived there in the community. He was a member of the Teamsters. Anybody know what Teamsters are? They're truck drivers. He was a tough guy. In fact, he told me a tale about beating up a guy at a truck stop in Memphis about 30 years earlier. And he was an interesting guy, but in a lot of ways, he never felt like he belonged. And he said to me one day, he said, you know, why did God cause me to be orphaned? I said, you know, I don't know, Jack. And I'll finish that story later. And then the third person I knew as an orphan was a fellow Methodist preacher from Starkville. He grew up, he was adopted from the Methodist Children's Home. And on the wall of his office of the church he served, he had a picture of the crib that he was raised in the Methodist Children's Home. Our church, this church supported the Methodist Children's Home, I'm sure. And you know, he was a little more settled. And he said any time that he would think that God wasn't loving him, or maybe his wife wasn't loving him, or his church wasn't loving him, or that his adoptive parents, by the way, who were wonderful folks, if I told you their names, his father was in the administration at Mississippi State, his adoptive father. But he told me one time we were playing golf together, and I said, did you ever wonder about who your real birth parents were? And he said, no, he said, all the parents I need. What would it be like to think that we were alone in this world? You ever felt that way? Sometimes you can feel that way. Sometimes there can be the loss of a person, spouse, parent, mother, and you can feel lonely. And if that loneliness persists, you may even then begin to wonder, even as a devout and devoted and spirit-filled Christian, you may wonder at times, God, are you here? Hence, Sunday school next week, we're going to talk about the assurance of God's love. Well, here's step one of the assurance of God's love. Jesus says on the night before he is crucified on Maundy Thursday, that's when this scripture is spoken. Right before this, he says that great line about, I am the way and the truth and the life. Those who come to the Father come through me. And we love to quote that. But here he says something even better. He says, I will not leave you an orphan. I will not leave you alone. I will send to you the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I hate the word counselor. It makes it sound like it's simply Methodist, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He sends the Spirit, and the word he uses there is not counselor as in therapist to make us feel better. It is the word advocate as stands by me. If you want to be literal, how about living? You ever felt like an orphan? Two of the three people that I have known well as orphans struggled in life. The gal I dated, the gal that stood me up, by the way, she divorced that guy, and Lynette's not here to hear the story, but I'll tell it. She'll get mad, maybe. She'll get over it. She's in Shreveport for 4 days, so maybe I'll be okay. By the way, her brother called me when she died and said, would you do her funeral? And Lynette said, if you do it, you can find a new wife. She married that guy. She moved to a place. She divorced him. She moved to another place. She divorced that one. And in between the second marriage and third, fourth, and fifth marriages, anybody see a pattern here? She didn't feel like she was loved. She felt alone. She felt abandoned. She felt she, and she was sitting in a hotel room in Clinton, Mississippi. I was doing her brother's wedding. Here's our little two-year-old Rebecca sitting on the bed bouncing with her two-year-old girl. She looks at Lynette and says, "That could have been my baby." Now you see why Lynette will kill me if I tell this sermon. But she married. I was in the hospital. My dad was dying in Tupelo. It was 10 years later. I see a highway patrolman. I hear him mention a girl who is crazy that he married not once but twice and is a piano player and went to Indiana. I thought, there can't be two of them. I turned to him. I said, "Were you married to?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "We just divorced the second time." And he looked me in the eye and he said, "She just can't be happy." I thank her cousin every day and say, "Thank you for saving me from that." She was married 5-6 times. She died of lupus at a young age, estranged from her brother, even her children. It's important that we know we belong, isn't it? There is nothing more Christian and more spiritual and nothing deeper and more important to our life than to know that we belong. When God, in the form of Jesus Christ, says in that upper room to those disciples, and He says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave for a while. I'm going to leave for a while, but I'm going to come back." And He does that. I asked you a while ago, did your mama ever say things to you that were not entirely right, and some of you were reluctant to say that because we're reluctant. But can I tell you something? God never tells us anything that's not absolutely correct and for our benefit and for His glory and for His love for us. Amen? See, what I want to begin today is to, in these next two Sundays, is not talk about moms, but talk about a love that is greater and deeper and fuller and more encompassing than any love of any mother can give. Now, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus is saying. In fact, in another place there in the Scripture, it says, "For you've been given a spirit of adoption." Don't you love that? Paul in Romans says, "You've been given a spirit of adoption that by which you can all say we're what? Children of God." It's not a euphemism. It's true. It's real. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit is placed, John Wesley called it the seal of the Spirit, is placed within you so you do not have to be alone, so you always know someone is by your side. So you, at those dark, dark nights when you're laying and wondering, does anybody really care, God can whisper loudly and completely to you, "Yes, I do. You're mine." I believe it's that same Spirit, that same message that touched the heart of the prodigal son while he's in the pigsty and said, "I can go back home and be with my place. I'd be better off in my father's house." And when the father sees the prodigal, of course, he comes running to greet him and to hug him and to make him his son again. You see, there is no orphan making in the church. God doesn't make orphans out of us. He makes children out of us, and precious children, and loved children. And in that way, He's like a mom. You know, the Scripture says the Scripture says that God gathers His children like a mother hen gathers her flock under her wings. I love that image. So today, I'm not going to be long. I want to be very precise and very strict with you. I didn't tell what happened to Jack, but Jack later on came to me and we would ride and we would go to Mayflower on Friday nights. He loved the Mayflower Cafe in Jackson. Some of you, if you've eaten there, raise your hand. If not, you need to go. It's open again. And Jack would sit there and he would talk to me about love. And he said, "You know," he said, "I ran away from home because my adopted parents beat me." And he said, "I ran all the way to Jack on my bicycle," drove his bicycle, by the way, from Rankin County to downtown Jackson. That's how much he was looking for love and acceptance. I'm grateful that my mom never made me feel unaccepted. But I'm more grateful to God that He filled my heart with His Holy Spirit and said, Ron, there will never be a time that I do not call you my child. Is that a good thing? Is that needed? Are there people out there like my old gal friend that need to know they're loved? Do you know anybody like that? Can you share the love of Christ with them? Will you? Now, that third preacher turned out to be a good guy. He was my golf buddy. He's now a Global Methodist pastor. He's up in Memphis serving a big church. And I asked him one day, I said, tell me this. I said, when you look at that crib and you know that somebody gave you up, he said, there is no greater love than the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ. He's right. Moms are close. But the best thing my grandmothers and my mom did for me was point me toward a God who could love me even when they couldn't be there, because they knew He could and would and is and forevermore will be. That's a pretty good deal. What if today you had a chance to tell someone you're not an orphan? You're loved by the God of the universe, who created this whole thing and out of His great love for you gave His Son so that you might know personally that relationship. What a wonderful thing we have. It's why there's such a buzz here at Mount Pleasant, because so many of you have shared with me your experience of being adopted in Christ. So many of you have shared with me about camp meeting experience of being saved and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So many of you have said that. You see, that's what makes this church great. It's not our moms and our dads and our cousins and our aunts and uncles. That's just an added value plus for this church. But what it is because we know we've been adopted, whether we've never been left alone and we've never been left orphaned. And here's the key. The key is that we can actually show people what that looks like by living and loving the commandments of God. Now, somebody's going to say, well, Brother Ron, what is that? Is that like a list of things we do and we do them and you check them off and we've done them? No, it's like living it every day. It's what they call in AA a living inventory. We do and we live out what we're doing. We live out our relationship to Christ so that when people see, just like Jesus said, He said, I'm coming and you'll see me again. And guess what? Other people will see me again. I'm sure they're thinking, how are they going to see you? You're leaving and they're going to see me through you. They're going to see me through you. So my primary job today is to say God doesn't want to leave you an orphan, and God wants you to give that message to every orphan in this world. Can we do that? Can we say that'll be something we as a church can do? We can live out the love of Jesus Christ for the world so that they can see Jesus and know that they're not left alone either. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that we're not orphans. But there is one small catch. We have to be willing to be adopted. It's not a natural thing just to say, oh, I know God loves me, but we have to accept that great love in Christ Jesus. We have to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. We have to be willing and ready and available for the Spirit to pour out in our heart so that we can say we're loved. Lord, we won't be perfect as Christians. There'll be times that we'll act like we're unloved. There'll be times that we act unloving. And yet, Lord, the gift is there. And the promise is there. And it's available to us. You will not leave us alone, but will come and stand by us. Good and bad, day and night, sickness, health. You'll stand with us and be present in us. And Lord, for that, we're grateful. Make us and remake us. The song we said earlier, finish in us a new creation. Let us pure and spotless be, that we might share with the world the love of the Father through the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us in God's Word today. If this message encouraged or challenged you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. That's part of witnessing boldly. We're so grateful you're part of this global Methodist family. May you go from here filled with the joy of the Lord and the power of His Spirit. Until next Sunday, walk closely with Jesus. God bless you.